From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. President Obama is meeting at the White House at this hour with the top U.S. commander in Afghanistan, General Stanley McChrystal, who's in hot water for disparaging remarks he and members of his staff made about senior administration officials in a Rolling Stone magazine article. NPR's Paul Brown is working the story and joins us now. What's the latest, Paul?
McChrystal has already spoken with Defense Secretary Robert Gates and Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Admiral Mike Mullen. Now he explains himself to the president. And the big question, of course, is will he keep his job?
What are the other big issues involved?
Well, the president says his priorities are protecting U.S. troops and making sure that Afghanistan will not be a haven for the Taliban and terrorists bent on attacking the U.S. again. Behind all this is the question of how the war is being conducted. The executive editor of Rolling Stone, where McChrystal's comments appear, says that the real importance of the magazine story is that it reveals dissension within the Obama administration about the war. Dan Gouray of the conservative Lexington Institute is one of the people who agrees. Here he is talking with NBC TV today.
What you're seeing in the McChrystal behavior and his staff is a broken command structure from the top. This is a president who has a dysfunctional organization running his war. It's not a team of rivals. It's a team of nine-year-olds. And something needs to be done about that, not just about Stanley McChrystal.
Gouray says McChrystal should be admonished. He thinks he should be sent back to Afghanistan because it's his war and he's indispensable. But not everyone agrees. McChrystal speaking negatively in public about the commander-in-chief is a possible firing offense, so the president faces a set of very tough choices here.
Thanks, Paul. NPR's Paul Brown reporting from Washington. The new PP executive in charge of the company's response to the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, Bob Dudley, told NBC that having grown up in Mississippi, he's committed to helping the Gulf Coast recover.
I'm going to be spending a lot of time in the Gulf Coast with officials in Washington and around the Gulf Coast, listening very, very carefully to what it is that their concerns are, the people of the Gulf Coast, making sure that we can respond faster and quicker.
Faster and quicker and listening, all watchwords for Ken Feinberg as well. He's the man the president has picked to head the independent fund to pay claims for damage from the oil spill.
You cannot run this program from Washington. It will not work from Washington. You have to come to the Gulf. You've got to listen and learn.
In South Carolina, Nikki Haley, an Indian American who had Tea Party support, has won the nomination for governor of that state. Lisa Miller reports.
In the primary 2 weeks ago, she received nearly half of the vote. This time around, she got 65% of the vote. Leading up to the runoff, former presidential candidate Mitt Romney and former South Carolina First Lady Jenny Sanford joined Haley on the campaign trail. Haley now faces Democratic State Senator Vincent Shaheen. For NPR News, I'm Lisa Miller.
This is NPR News. Federal Reserve policymakers are expected to hold the line on interest rates as the Fed's Open Market Committee wraps up its meetings today. Greg McBride is a senior financial analyst with Bankrate.com.
The Fed is nowhere close to raising short-term interest rates, and that gives borrowers some additional time to pay down that debt with the tailwind of low interest rates.
McBride says the Fed is not likely to push interest rates higher before the end of the year. A man convicted of killing a police officer is set to appear in federal court today after the U.S. Supreme Court ordered an unusual hearing on his claim of innocence. NPR's Kathy Lohr reports the case involves Troy Anthony Davis, who was found guilty of murdering a police officer in Savannah, Georgia, 20 years ago.
In a historic case, after 7 of 9 witnesses recanted or changed their testimony, a federal judge will finally hear testimony involving evidence that was not available at trial. Previous courts did not allow the evidence to be heard. The U.S. Supreme Court says a federal judge will determine whether the new evidence clearly establishes Davis' innocence. All involved in the case acknowledge this is a high legal standard, and unlike a trial, Davis has the burden of proof. His execution has been stopped 3 times, once just 2 hours before it was scheduled. The case has drawn widespread interest. Former President Jimmy Carter and Pope Benedict are among thousands who've written letters supporting Davis. Kathy Lohr, NPR News, Atlanta.
The government's reporting that sales of new homes tumbled sharply last month, down 33% as a federal homebuyer tax credit expired. Striking port workers in Greece are keeping hundreds of passengers from boarding ferry boats today. They're protesting new austerity measures by the Greek government. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News, in Washington.